Hello, my name is Carol Romeo, and I am here to share with you my journey leading me into the very wonderful healing heart of God. While searching for a title for this podcast, the healing heart of God popped into my mind. As I examined that title more fully, it proved to be a perfect description of my journey with the Lord. It has been an amazing journey, and I'm so very excited to share it with many of you who have had maybe past or present similar experiences as me. You will see in my books the many different ways God has reached into my heart and brought me healing from the depth of His heart. My story may be different from yours, but what is the same is the passion that God possesses for each one of you. It is from His heart that I write to you. After being touched by His love, I simply had to write you. I couldn't keep it to myself. This is too wonderful. I wanted each of you to be touched by the same love that He touched me. His healing transformed my life so completely, I just couldn't keep it to myself. I want to begin by telling you a bit of my childhood. My pain began in early childhood. My mother and stepfather were alcoholics and at times violent with one another. I was left alone on the weekends, as young as 9 years old, for my parents to go to the bar. When they came home in the early morning hour, I would hear them from my upstairs bedroom arguing rather loudly, slamming doors, my mom crying or sometimes yelling in pain. During this time, I was also sexually abused by my stepdad. I told my mom, I was one of those kids that did tell, I told my mom, but her only solution was to argue with my dad, and both of them dropped the issue. I never received any therapy, and neither my mom or dad ever spoke about the event again. I was left withholding that event on my own. The event that I discovered that finally brought me some happiness was dance. I started dancing at age 5 and almost immediately fell in love with it. Every day I was anxious to return home from school, and I would rush down to our basement and practice for hours. This was probably not a bad coping mechanism, although in time it became my whole identity. At age 16, I began a professional career as a dancer, and I was in a touring group of the Rockettes. Several years later, I started performing in a nightclub in Long Island, New York. This is where I met Tony, who would later become my husband. He became my ticket out of the house. And as we moved to California, we found, however, that opportunities were not the same. Dance was not available in Los Angeles compared to New York, and so I opened a dance studio. My business was very lucrative and very satisfying. After several years, however, my first big blow came when I became so ill that I had to stop dancing. My life at that point crumbled quickly. Besides the illness, my marriage was also failing. I was caring for 5 children, 2 I birthed, and 3 stepchildren. That's when I started to drink to escape the madness that I felt inside. Needless to say, I hit bottom. You can read more of my life story in my book, Expect the Miraculous. You will also read how God intervened in my life and began the process of healing me and healing my family. As you read not only that book, but all of my books, I want you to notice my mention of the heart of God. He reached out to me in many, many ways. And I am convinced that He is ready to reach each one of you in the same way. After I initially opened my heart to God, He was willing to show me His heart. I was amazed and overwhelmed by the magnitude of His love and His care for me. His heart was far more expansive than I had imagined. There were times I just sat and wept as my heart was impacted by His love. Journaling continued to be a major channel to meet with Jesus and connect with His heart for me. In addition, I found I had a talent for writing, which eventually led to my authoring a number of books. Here are the five books: Meditations from the River, Healing Waters for Troubled Times; Traveling with the Life Giver, A Spiritual Journey Through Recovery from Abuse; Journey into Wholeness, Healing Emotional Wounds; Expect the Miraculous, A True Life Story of the Extraordinary Power of God; and Be a Powerful Woman of God, A Testament of His Goodness. Each book focuses on the challenges that I was experiencing at that point in my life and how God met me at each challenge. I have found that God's heart is huge, and it is full of compassion, kindness, grace, forgiveness, peace, patience. It took me time in my recovery to recognize those attributes of God. So please be patient with yourself and with God in your healing process, because it does take time. The Lord was gracious to me and was with me even in those times that I could not see Him. In the midst of my physical pain, however, I walked away from God. And inside my depression, I couldn't see my way back to Him. But God had it all planned out. In this season, I was attending college, studying for my BA in psychology, and I happened to go to a Christian college. I believe that it was actually a God-orchestrated plan, however. The college made it mandatory to attend chapel every day. The speaker that special day probably never believed he would deliver the healing message that came right from the heart of God and drew me back into the presence of God. You will read my full experience in my book, Meditations from the River. I am delighted to tell you that I experienced one encounter after another with my precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is never without detailed plans on how to change your life and bring you into wholeness. Your circumstances may be different than mine. You may have rolled down into a well of despair, or maybe you've just discovered that your lack of happiness is present. Wherever you find yourself, the solution is always the same. Look to Jesus. If you don't even know where to start in this journey, ask Jesus to show you the way. There are many varied motivations I had for compiling my five books. First of all was my desire to know God. In each book, God disclosed more of His character to me. Because I believe that our first directive as Christians is building a relationship with Jesus, that was my main motivator. As you read my books, you will notice the many differing ways Jesus revealed himself to me at each segment of my journey. My prayer for you is, as you experience each challenge, that you can also experience growth in your relationship with God. Throughout my books, the thing I mention the most is for us to develop a hunger for more of God. At the same time, this is the attribute God desires for us as well. In my spiritual development, I decided to travel to a church in Toronto. They were experiencing a dynamic movement of the Holy Spirit with miraculous demonstrations. And since I was in need of healing, off I went on the next flight. My expectations were met because I was healed of chronic depression. The thing that I found to be so interesting, though, is the way that they prayed. Most of the time, they simply said, "More God." That prayer has really stuck in my spirit because the truth is, God always has more for us. As I mentioned earlier, journaling was an activity I started soon after giving my heart to God. What I found exciting was that the Lord began to speak to me in poetry. Then I poured out my prayers to him, sometimes in poetic form as well. This became the main way God and I communicated at that time. You can read God's poems and mine in my book, Meditations from the River. I encourage you to read slowly, take in his blessings, and make them yours. This season, however, marked the beginning of my physical illness. I was hospitalized with severe allergies and had an experience of anaphylactic shock that was very traumatizing. When my body pain became chronic, I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia. At one point, I walked away from God. I didn't know what to do with all of my suffering and my misdirected anger at God. While writing Meditations from the River, though, I discovered that God was with me, that He indeed was with me. He extended His comfort, peace, and love to me. He also lifted the lie that I was believing that I was going to die and replaced it with His truth that He had life for me. I opened my heart to take in what God had for me. If you are suffering in body, soul, or spirit, this book will aid you in your healing process. God will speak to you as He spoke to me. Here is one of His poems to you, entitled, "Your Heart's a Treasure." Your heart's a treasure, be far beyond compare. I see and I mend every hurt and tear. Embracing the pain, the sorrow, despair, I reach out my hand to show you my care. I share a blessing with you, my most fair. My love transforms you as your hurt I'll bear. So reach out to me and do not beware. My love is faithful. You'll find I am there. As I traveled further with the Lord, I not only gained spiritual wisdom, I obtained a master's degree in practical ministry from Wagner Leadership Institute, and I continued with my internship in marriage and family therapy. In my work as a therapist and in my ministry where I trained others to perform as spiritual counselors, it became very clear to me that for healing to take place in many individuals, that I would need to impart both psychological and spiritual tools to them. The group of individuals that eventually became my specialty were abuse survivors. It was quite a natural progression because of my abusive background. My next two books were written to that population. Traveling with the Life Giver is an allegory which focuses on a character named Cherished, who suffers from abuse from an intruder. She becomes angry at Life Giver, who is Jesus Christ, for not protecting her, and she runs from his home, where she had been living, and travels into the dark forest. The enemy of her soul appears to her in different forms and taunts her with their words. "You are no good. Life Giver will not forgive you. Look around you. He is not here. You have been forsaken. That is your name, forsaken." She didn't realize that the spirit was right there with her the whole time and eventually guided her out of her cave of shame. She found her way back to the Life Giver, but not until she experienced the mighty deliverance performed by the Life Giver. He brought her to his river of mercy that flowed from his throne. And as she stepped in, he repeated to her the promises that were still in his heart for her. His mercy river was also washing her soul and healing the trauma she had housed within. She then claimed her name, Cherished, and gladly gave her heart back to Life Giver. This book is written in such a way that it can be used for recovering from abuse. Each chapter contains a question and answer section used to process the emotional and mental pain generated from abuse. I used this book with an abuse survivors group I was leading and found it very helpful. While working through the 8-week study group, I also formulated teachings which gave them the psychological and spiritual tools to aid them through the process. This was presented in a visual PowerPoint presentation and outlined in a workbook form called Journey of Wholeness Workbook. Later, I rewrote the book to make it clearer to the readers when not using the video teachings. That book is now called Journey into Wholeness. This book is full of practical exercises that can strengthen your will and behaviors to line up with the actions of the spirit. How to access the true self versus the false self. How to act and not react. How to challenge the lies versus truth. How to be rooted in Christ and not in the world. How to fulfill your expectations and needs. How to discover your defense mechanisms. And how to gain trust. After completing those books, this is where my life took a bit of a turn. I was getting ready to begin marketing my 3 books and start my speaking engagements when I fell and broke my ankle, which required surgery. When I was in rehab one day, I started praying over my disappointment when the Lord urged me, write another book. My first thought was, really, God? This is what I had not planned for this segment of my life. Nevertheless, because I had a magnitude of quiet time given to me, I had enough time to think about it. Since my previous books were largely inspired by the Lord, I prayed and waited for God's direction. I wasn't going to just jump in and write without His direction and leading. His encouragement was unmistakable. My heart was stirred with the proposal of writing my life story completely with all the miracles God had done for me and the transformation He performed in me and in my family. As I continued to write, I discovered that it was the best thing that I could have done for myself at that time. I was reminded of the many other challenges I had faced in my life, but I was also reminded of the many ways the Lord met, healed, and delivered me. In the midst of my then current pain and disappointment, I found I needed to remember the goodness of God. I gained hope through my writings, and my relationship with God deepened. That is my prayer as well for each of you as you read my book, Expect the Miraculous. No matter what challenges you have had, let God's truth speak to you as He spoke to me. In this book, I describe the big miracles and the small miracles that I experienced. Nevertheless, in every way, God acts towards us. I believe His main goal is to show us His love. The Word tells us, I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and exchange their sorrow into rejoicing. And that's from Jeremiah 31. I held onto that scripture for many years. You will read about the moments where God shone His light into my dark places. Those moments gave me the strength to keep going forward while holding fast to the promises of God. As you witness my experiences, you will see that God is faithful to His word. He gifted me with instantaneous physical healings, freedom from addictions, inner healing of the heart from trauma and abuse, angelic appearances, mystical visions, a vision of the throne room, a 3D illumination of the word, and deliverance from the demonic. My story includes not only the actual demonstration of the miracle, but also exactly how each miracle transformed my life. When experiencing a miracle, we also have to ask why. This is a very important question. Why this miracle at this time? There is always something God wants to show us in the midst of that event. You might be saying, God never worked a miracle in me. The truth is, however, that God is always working miracles. You may not recognize that God is the one orchestrating the event. Sometimes we label those events as coincidences. Although if we look more closely, we can see that God's power is present and at work. One of my favorite miracles is the kind that was not immediately visible, but as I examined it, it proved to be packed with the goodness of God. My mother was in a nursing facility. She had dementia and suffered with a broken femur. She was on hospice and already had refused food and liquid. We knew it wouldn't be long before she would pass into the arms of my Jesus. I sat by her bed, held her hand, and prayed. It had been a long time since we had communicated with each other with words. One day, my son encouraged me to look into her eyes and speak to her without any words. I hesitated at first because I was always afraid of her eyes. She had OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, and I happened to be her obsession. She was always examining me and making sure I was looking and behaving properly. Nevertheless, I tried what my son suggested, and to my amazement, she responded to me. For the next several weeks, I sat by her bed as we exchanged all the loving thoughts we had for one another. I could feel my heart responding. All the fear, judgments, and anger melted away, and I experienced a love connection with my mom. Now when I think of her, all I feel is love. What a precious gift from the Lord. I know that my son received that directive from the Lord, but I didn't realize what would come of it until I tried it. That is why we need to be alerted to God and to His directive. I am blessed to have received such a wonderful miracle. Indeed, it was wonderful. Following the publication of Expect the Miraculous, I once again was challenged with another illness. I had severe back pain. While experiencing the process of several medical procedures, including back surgery, and limited in my ability to stand for more than 1 minute, God gave me a dream with specific instructions to, you guessed it, write another book. This book is titled, Be a Powerful Woman of God. His directions were to reach out to women that I have connected with at some time in my life and ask them to describe a challenge that they had experienced and how God intervened in that event. If it was up to me, I would not have chosen to write this particular book because I had been housebound for some time and the thought of connecting to other women felt a little overwhelming. I am glad I was obedient to the Lord, however. I was so blessed, even in the process of reading the testimonies as they were sent to me. I knew without a doubt that God designed this book and was piecing it together. I knew it would take effort to assemble the testimonies together, add my comments, and relate their testimonies to biblical women. But the excitement I gained reading their stories gave me the motivation I needed to work on the project. After completing the book, I was left with an experience of what it really means to join together and encourage one another in the Lord. We not only have the Spirit of God to strengthen us, we have each other. Paul writes it so clearly in his letter to the Romans. I give thanks to God for all of you. My desire and constant prayer is that I would succeed in coming to you. This means that when we come together and are side by side, something wonderful will be released. We can expect to be co-encouraged and co-comforted by each other's faith. That's from Romans 1, 8, 10, and 12. I am so thankful to be a powerful woman of God. It was a reminder to me, as I know it will be for you, that God has gifted us to bless and encourage one another. There is a woman of God who has been a special blessing to me through the decades that we have known each other. Serving God together, praying for one another, ministering healing and deliverance to each other, and of course, encouraging each other. That woman whom I'm now introducing to you is Christy Jordan. When I was thinking of someone to speak on this podcast regarding my books, she is the very first person that popped into my mind. And here she is. I want you to meet Christy.
Hi, Carol, and hello, everyone listening. I'm so delighted that you invited me here.
Well, I am so happy that you decided to join me. As we begin, would you join me in prayer for our listeners?
Yes, of course. Let's pray.
Lord, as we meet together, would you speak to the hearts of your people and bless them with all you have for them through this teaching.
And Lord, would you give me your words, your wisdom, as I speak? You have touched my heart throughout my walk with you. Would you help me to pass that healing to others?
Well, Christy, I know that I have asked you to share on how the Lord impacted you through my books. So I am excited to hear about the working of God in your life. I am ready to listen.
Well, I was born and raised in a Christian home. I regularly attended on Sundays, and at the age of 4, I quoted John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," in a Christmas play. I learned early that the importance of respecting God and obeying His word. As a small child, I was aware that God was watching over me, although I was plagued with gripping fear, anxiety, and confusion. I remember not liking myself and at times hating who I saw in the mirror. But I thought everyone felt those dark feelings of despair and displeasure. I did receive Jesus into my heart at the age of 8 at a church camp in the summer of 1963 and rededicated my life in 1972 as a senior in high school. In 1982, I married and graduated from Bible college with a BA in theology. Several months into my marriage, I began to experience anxiety and deep depression. After the birth of my 3rd child, I had a nervous breakdown. I was placed on tranquilizers and began seeking medical and professional help. The church I was attending sought to assist me with a program designed to help me try harder and become a better Christian with more faith and good works. That system only made me feel more condemnation, guilt, and fear. Although I had a strong foundation in the principles of Scripture, like praying and fasting and witnessing and trying harder, I exhausted every avenue. The behavior management plan left me feeling alone, empty, and wanting to disappear and die. I began to question the existence of God. Although my knowledge of God and Jesus was strong, my personal relationship was alarmingly distant. So, where was Jesus? If he was so loving, why did I feel so unloved? He promised never to leave or forsake me, but why did I feel so alone and afraid? So, in my pain and confusion, I actually entertained thoughts of suicide as a way of escaping this life so I could be in heaven free of pain.
Wow, Christy, I am sorry you went through such a dark time. That is a very scary place to be in. I know that feeling because, as you heard in my testimony, that is right where I had found myself too. The sad thing is that as Christians, we often think that if we do all the right things and work real hard at it, God is going to fix everything. So, Christy, how did you find your way through that time?
Well, as I continued to try and find my way, I realized my internal system of who I thought God was had unraveled. That realization added to my state of desperation. On 2 occasions, I made a calculated plan to end my life, but God's miraculously intervened on my behalf on both occasions. Then one day, God brought my attention to the clicking of my bedroom clock. It was very clear. God was alerting me that I was at my ground zero, or flatlining. At this place, I sought the help of a doctor who prescribed antidepressants to help me cope. The meds artificially helped me to regroup enough to cope through my daily life and seek extra help. For the next 12 years, I went on a healing journey with my Lord. I read books on inner healing, where I came to realize that clearly you can have a strong foundation in religion and still be parched in a land of broken emotions. It was in 2005, I was involved in a church leadership class. Through their teaching, I discovered that I was a victim of ritual abuse. Of course, this realization was shocking and overwhelming, to say the least. I found that my Pandora's box of information had opened and I could not put the ugly atrocities back into the box. Although I was shocked at what I was hiding inside, I was relieved to find some of the root causes of my wounded emotions. I uncovered the reality that my early child abuse was in the hands of my grandfather at age 4. I was molested, teased, laughed at, smothered with pillows, and my head dunked into water. On several occasions, I lost consciousness and was revived by my grandfather. On one occasion, my grandmother caught my grandfather in the act of molesting me. He told my grandma that I asked him to molest me. My grandmother took me into another room and verbally shamed me. She placed my hand on the Bible and made me acknowledge my sin. As you can imagine, I was in such shock, I didn't even attempt to explain. And I know on that day, I learned not to have a voice. Shame had taken over my sense of identity. On a few occasions that I managed to express my fears, I was told I was silly. I felt discounted, devalued, and silenced once again. I had no one to trust. I had so many questions pouring through my mind. Can people actually recover from this type of abuse? If so, who can help me? Where do I go from here? Will someone actually believe me when I share my terrifying experiences? My pastor's wife suspected I was a victim of ritual abuse and directed me to Carol Romeo for psychological therapy. It was God's love for me which directed me on a path to my next season of recovery. This is where my journey to wholeness began. So in this process of attending therapy sessions with Carol, she introduced me to her book, Traveling with the Life Giver. This story gave me a clear view of what I was suffering as a survivor of abuse, cherished the main character, ran from Life Giver, who was Jesus Christ, after her abuse from an intruder. However, as she traveled into the darkest forest, she was taunted with lies by the enemy forces. Look at where you are now, Life Giver has forsaken you. It was there that she took on the name Forsaken as she embraced the lie. And as I read further, however, I gained some of the answers to my questions. In the story, the spirit was always with Forsaken, even when she couldn't see him. He then delivered her from her cave of shame and released her into the plush green valley and the light and the life he had for her. As I related my own fate to that of Forsaken, I felt validation and hope. I was reminded that I am never without the Spirit of God, even in the midst of my dark times. My newfound hope led me to seek the Lord again with my own misguided emotions. I acknowledged to myself, if Forsaken could make it, I can too. Forsaken's journey felt like mine, but I would find it had a triumphant ending, complete with a name change, a cleansing, and restoration of the love of God. In this part of my journey, she was able to leave the torturous past and step into her new spiritual identity. It brought her the peace she so desired, and that's what I was in need of, and in essence, what we're all striving for in this life. Another one of Carol's books she introduced me to was Journey into Wholeness. This book detailed the actual steps for the healing process to take place. It described the beginning steps of action and explained further the thoughts and behaviors that needed to change to become the person God designed me to be. I began to understand the mechanics of my brain and why I believed what I did. Much of the journey involved identifying my twisted thinking and the crazy behavior which followed that thinking. Journey into wholeness led me in the process of basically identifying, disassembling, and demolishing the lies that I had constructed in my head about myself. I needed a complete rewiring of my brain, will, and emotions. Also, in Journey into Wholeness, I learned about the roadblocks and defenses I used to protect myself. I learned that all my dysfunctional emotions were a result of the abuse I had suffered. I was not who others believed I was. One of the exercises the book led me through was how to recognize the lies I had believed and how to replace those lies with truth of God's word. God says, I have great worth and value. As I worked through this process, I learned that I could be productive and fruitful. So in essence, I had to learn to live directed by God's truth, resting in the knowledge that God's plan for my life is perfect. Now I try to live my life surrendering my thoughts to God and embracing fully who God says that I am. That position of resting in truth was aided further through reading another one of Carol's books, Meditations from the River. I was deeply inspired by her healing poems. I was so touched that I ventured out in writing about my pain through poetry. I learned to quiet myself and to let God whisper into my heart how he saw me, and he assured me that he was always with me. I wrote from his inspiration to me. I found this part of my healing was focused on expanding my ability to allow my mind to imagine good things and linger in that place of peace and goodness with God. It took years of practice to quiet my mind and soul as I lingered in quietness. However, as my heart and soul began to heal from the inside out, I found that I had more space for my true self to emerge and its creativity and adventure. God is a God of redemption. My journey has been a long one, and it's been sprinkled with pain and tears and victories. Although through my experiences, I became more deeply aware of the faithfulness of God.
Amen, Christy. Christy, I am so glad you made the choice to search for the goodness of God, even in your place of suffering. What would you like to tell our listeners, especially the ones who are, their story is similar to yours, and they're wounded and questioning the way out?
Even though each one of you listening out there may have a different story, I would say Jesus is able to meet you right where you are. Jesus redeems the lost years, and he exchanges ashes for beauty. He's really able to make all things new. He will take away the ache of the deepest pain if you will make the choice to give it to him. He died for all the loss and pain you suffered from. His love is more than enough to wipe away the pain attached to tragedy or trauma. Will you allow him to become a reality in your life? Will you give him permission to personally comfort you and release you from the prisons that hold you? I made that choice to embrace the healing of my soul, and now I enjoy the ministry of freeing other prisoners from the painful dark places in their minds and hearts. Jesus came to shine his light upon his children and set the captive free. Freedom is the avenue I chose to travel. Will it be yours?
That is so right, Christy. Jesus came to rescue each one of us from the wounds that trauma produced in our souls. The Word of God tells us the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And that's from Psalms 34, 18 and 19. Christy, when I think of your journey, I am so happy over the transformation he has brought to your life. I have had the pleasure of helping you through the low times and the high times. Thank you for trusting that God was directing both you and I. I am reminded over something the Lord spoke to me one day when I had just finished pouring my heart out to him and expressing the disappointment that he had not miraculously healed me. He said, you are the one that is my miracle. Why I am bringing that up right now is I want to say the same thing to you, Christy. He has made you his miracle. And that is something I want to say to each listener. When you say yes to God, he will lead you into that place where you will gain a transformed life.
Carol, towards the end of your book, Expect the Miraculous, you described a vision of seeing a sea of wounded children of all ages. And interestingly, you described actually feeling the heart of God breaking and his tears uniting with the tears of his children. Then you added, you began to weep. And while you were weeping, God spoke to you and said, I am sending you to help heal my people, my children. But first, I have to give you my heart.
Yes. The weight of the burden that I felt that he carried was overwhelming, and it is something I carry with me to each person I minister to and each book that I write. I am so aware that it's his heart that is extended to each one of you listening, and he is waiting for each one of you to say yes. Yes, yes, Lord, I give you my burdens in exchange for the healing that you want to bring to me.
Wow, thank you, Carol, for giving me this opportunity to share about my experiences with God's healing power. And I thank you for all the healing you've helped bring to me and the unity of experience with you as we ministered together. I'm telling you, I was more than delighted when you, Carol, asked me if I would like to give my testimony for your book, Be a Powerful Woman of God, that you were then putting together. I would be one of a group of women who would be willing to be vulnerable and share their personal stories. As I read through the stories of each woman, I was touched deeply by their testimonies. Each woman had faced difficult and heartbreaking events that were overwhelming and crushing. I was moved to tears in several of the entries. Some women walked with God in their pain, and others came to know God through their pain. Each testimony was so different and unique, but God met each woman with his strength and grace and hope. When I finished the book, I did not feel so all alone. I felt I had company and friends out there who shared the same experiences. In the middle of their suffering, God deposited his love inside each woman and made a way through their pain. I'm thankful that Carol had the vision to write this book. She showed us the value of each sacrifice. The pages of this book are a living testament of beautiful women who have surrendered and learn to love. Thank you, Carol, for being a voice for so many.
As we come to the close of this podcast, I want to remind my listeners that God has a good plan for each one of you. In Expect the Miraculous, I describe the many differing ways God impacted me through my journey with him. There were times I experienced instantaneous physical and emotional miracles, visions, angelic visitations, and other miraculous occurrences. I must admit, I love those big, over-the-top miracles. But God has a purpose through all the ways He decides to impact us by His Spirit. As you can see through the synopsis of my books, God has many ways of revealing His love to us. I encourage you to look for it. If you have been inspired by this podcast, join me in future podcasts and search out the heart of God, ready to meet you through my books. My name is Carol Romeo. You can find out where to order my books through a link on my YouTube page. Thank you for tuning in today. I enjoyed meeting with you, even though it's just vocal. I enjoyed my experience here with you. You can look for my podcast entitled The Healing Heart of God. And please don't forget to subscribe. May you walk in many blessings. Thank you again, Christy, for joining me today. It is certainly a pleasure knowing you.
Oh, Carol, thank you for inviting me. I too enjoyed being here with you and with each one of your listeners.